All right. We're in Heavenly Places, page 192. The topic is, or the headline or title, Caring for the Body Temple. And it's, of course, for the 4th of July today. So, it says, and it starts off with Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And then she goes on to say, said the psalmist, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, God has given us faculties and powers of mind and body, which it is the duty of all to preserve in the best condition. If any weaken their powers through the indulgence of appetite, they decrease their power of influence, making themselves imperfect. So if you really want to understand the scriptures, if you want to know your Father's will more, then curb your appetite, especially when it comes to eating things that are bad for you, of course. And even things that are good for you, you know, don't eat too much of it. I knew a preacher years ago who used to say, we don't have a problem with eating bad food, we just have a problem with eating too much of the good food. And I couldn't understand why that would be an issue with a pastor. Well, then I found out later he wasn't really a pastor. But anyway, it goes on to say that only by the expensive offering made up upon the cross of Calvary can we understand the value of the human soul. We are placed on vantage ground by the redeeming power of Jesus Christ to obtain freedom from the bondage of sin which was wrought by the fall of Adam. And I did some research a few years ago, well, quite a few years ago, in fact, even before I stopped eating meat, and I found that you literally are what you eat. And, you know, like, for example, if you eat meat, your body will react in certain ways, especially in the area of your ability to understand, focus, concentrate, that kind of thing. But if you eat meat with blood in it, the clean meats are one thing, but today it's going to be really hard to find clean meat unless, of course, you got cows on your own land. But or chickens on your own land, too. If you have the blood still in the meat, it fevers the frontal lobe. It fevers the area where you have your emotions, your sex drive, and appetite. Yeah, that's what it was, those three. But usually those three areas are supposed to be, you know, accessed from the brain in the back part of the brain, like in the hemispheres, either the left or right hemisphere, whatever, where it allows for better rationality, you know, better thinking. Whereas when it's in the front part of the brain, it's feverish in its way. And that's why people are oversexed, overweight, and angry. You know, because that's... And I kind of, when I did that research, I thought, wow, kind of very easy to understand that. You know, because I had some problems in some areas. I never really had a problem with weight. But I had, you know, issues in other areas. And, well, maybe the weight thing was because I was very thin when I was young. And I never really, I mean, there were times I got heavy, but that was only after I stopped my activities. I used to play Frisbee a lot. And there's a lot of running around when you're playing Frisbee when I was young. But anyway, she goes on to say, we are to make the most of the capabilities, and the talents lent us by God. All who are weakening and destroying the physical, mental, and moral powers by sinful eating, sinful dressing, and violation of the laws of health in any respect, will have to render an account to God for all the good they might have done had they observed the laws of health, rather than self-indulgent, careless, and reckless of the house they live in. God says you are not your own. You are God's property. And think about the term temple, too. The Holy Spirit's in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people think sinful dressing. Where does that come from? Well, you got to take into consideration back in her day, they wore corsets as well as other. And even today, there's sinful clothing, too, that can affect the mind. You know, like the naughty way some girls would dress can affect their mind in regards to lust. And of course, every guy that checks them out commits adultery in his heart. And it causes the girl to get a little bit more feverish in that area, too, in regards to lust. But there's also tight clothing that restricts the blood flow. And that is very harmful to the body. It's slow going like smoking cigarettes, but, you know, sin has consequence. It'll eventually get to you. No two ways about it. But the corsets, oh man, those things were, I can't understand that. They were just, you know, squishing their innards just to make their tummies look small. Like you have that hourglass figure thing or whatever. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen some of the old black and white movies, especially the silent films. If somebody burst into a room or said something they shouldn't have said that was off color in mixed company or something, you'd always see the woman put her hand, the back of her hand up to her forehead and just go, just faint, you know. It was obvious all the time, you know. I was like, oh, look at there. Boom, there she went, you know, every time. Well, there's an actual medical reason for that, or a physical reason for that. Those corsets were cutting off the blood flow. And so, you know how sometimes you get that cold chill in your spine, like if you're driving on the road, somebody cuts you off and you almost go off the road and you get that rush of coldness in your body? Well, that's just a natural adrenaline rush that's designed by our Lord. It's, you know, to give us an advanced ability to handle sticky situations, if you will. So much so that a little old lady can lift up the back end of a truck to get her son out from underneath. Stuff like that. You just get this crazy adrenaline rush. But if you got a corset on, it doesn't quite work well. It goes straight to the brain. Instead of running through the whole system, going up and down, it just goes straight up and knocks you out. Because your brain can't handle all that. And that's why the women always faint. You know, someone would shock them and scare them. That cold rush would just knock them out. Anyway, going on, it says, and that's another reason why Sister White said it's sinful dressing too, because crushing your innards like that, oh man, it can't be good. So she says, your ransom cost the life of the Son of God. All are to consider the greatness of the sacrifice made. The majesty of heaven, the King of glory, designs that men and women shall give to him their wholehearted service. And here, the key word is wholehearted, you know. And this even applies to candy, I would think. I mean, there's nothing wrong with eating candy, but you got to eat it, and you got to be careful what kind of candy it is, of course. I would prefer something like from a health food store. You don't want to go anywhere near chocolate, of course, with the caffeine and stuff like that. And, you know, one guy will say one thing about chocolate, another guy will say another. You know, they're all saying all these different things about how it's good for you, and our guy says it's not so good for you. Well, if you don't know, don't bother. And then you got vinegar and all these other things that are inside, everything from bread to mayonnaise, you know. And so there's all sorts of different things. But like I say, with the candy, there's like fairly safe, old-fashioned, handmade kind of stuff you can get at health food stores and stuff like that. It's not the greatest tasting stuff in the world. But then again, if you never ate the Hershey bar, yeah, it wouldn't know any different, you know, because it would taste great. You know, it's just like with reading the Bible. A lot of people, the first time they read the Bible is like when they're in their 20s or 30s, and they've already had 20 or 30 years worth of shoot 'em up, bang 'em up special effects movies from Hollywood. So when they open up the Bible, it's like, wow, you know, start yawning and get all bored out of their gourd. And but had they never gone to Hollywood, they open up the Bible and says, wow, this is amazing stuff, powerful, you know, especially when you get to that Red Sea stuff, you know. But anyway, she goes on. She says, in the words of the Apostle Paul, there's a depth of meaning. And, of course, Paul says in Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's, of course, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So she goes on, she says, no one can bring honor to God if he pursues a course of action that will bring blemish upon the body or the soul. Our sacrifice is to be holy and without blame. This is the reasonable service of everyone. We are God's workmanship, God's building. God wants us to honor him with all there is of us. So amen and amen. I mean, he's given us an ample tools to do it, of course. And like the psalmist says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you've ever done some research on inner space or seen that video I put on the website where they go out to this, and I got to tell you that Dante sent that to me a few weeks ago, and I've seen videos like this over the years the same way, but that one kind of hit me for some reason pretty good. I don't like the circles I keep showing up, but it kind of gives you a depth, giving you an idea of where, you know, the direction you're in, I guess. But that, you know, leaving the planet and going out to the far reaches of the universe as far as the Hubble telescope can reach. And when you take it into consideration, it's a fraction of how much is actually out there. people go, yeah, well, we don't really see that much. We only see like a fraction of the entire universe. I said, okay, yeah, and then they just flip it off like it's like no big deal. Okay, yeah, okay, bye, have a nice day. But if you see that video and realize, okay, this is just a fraction of what we actually see or what's actually out there, you know, we're assuming because, again, the Hubble telescope can only go so far. There's literally trillions of planets, billions of galaxies. And within those galaxies, there's billions of solar systems with, of course, the trillion planets, you know, trillions of planets. And so when you think of that, and you think of, you know, and it's helped, like over the years, like I say, I've seen the other videos too, or just contemplating walking with the Lord in heaven, or going for, you know, a little cruise around the universe with, you know, my favorite angel, obviously our guardian angel, and just checking things out. It's like, would I really want to give all that up for, you know, a cigarette? You know, or that candy bar? Well, I don't know if you give it up for a candy bar. You might die quicker, but I don't know. There's just, I mean, when you look at it in the proper perspective, and I wish guys like Obama or Ratzinger or, you know, or that present Pope or anybody out there that's got what they think is power, if they would just contemplate who he is, we wouldn't have any problems like this down here. But then again, the devil's going to have his day. He's got to speak his piece. Otherwise, like, you know, it would have been obvious had like the second that Lucifer rebelled and became Satan, if God would have snuffed him out then yeah, all the angels would have just worshipped God, got out of fear. And God does not want robotic worship. There's a difference between abject fear and reverent fear. And we have reverent fear because he is to be respected in all things. And he goes far beyond just a king. You know, some people bow in reverent fear of kings when the one who made that king supersedes him in astronomical ways that you can't even put a number to. And yet they blow him off like he's just, yeah, he's just up there, you know. And they'll use some flippant terms like, yeah, the big guy upstairs, or, you know, it's just so disrespectful, especially when you think about the angels. Whenever they mention the name of the Lord, they stop in their tracks and they cover their faces with their wings for a moment to acknowledge him, and then continue on their conversation and their walk or whatever they're doing. But I got to tell you, just, you know, every now and then when the enemy of souls gets in my face or tries to, you know, put that cloud of despair over you or drag you down or make you feel like the work just ain't getting anywhere, you think about those trillions and trillions of planets with is there a number like what is it, I think it's, there's something past trillions. I use it in one of my videos, the Antichrist video. What is that word? It's the number that comes after trillions. I can't remember what it is. But that number multiplied by an astronomical, yeah, quadrillion, is that what it is? Yeah. Yeah. Zillion. I don't know. I've heard of zillion, but it was, you know. But anyway, yeah, quadrillion. And there has to be, I would think, billions of quadrillions of people on those planets that we get to visit. And so, yeah, I can understand us having to have an eternity to go around and share. Oh, man, just thinking about all that, living for all eternity in absolute peace with the ability to fly and just do what you love best, sharing your faith. Ultimate definition of heaven, I would think. That and the fact of being with him on every Sabbath, or just being with him, you know, in a much more closer relationship than we are down here with these, looking through these glasses darkly, but... In any event, I'll be back in a minute.